Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Dean of Religious Life, Stephanie Steinwart. It is the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Dean Steinwart's coming to Stanford actually begins a whole process of evaluation, of planning, of change. So the Office of Religious Life is going through a very extensive process this entire year, even with visitors coming from MIT, Duke, and Brown universities. And so it's an incredible time for growth. And so today I really want to, after her preaching, to have us go right into a blessing for her, prayers for her, and the Office of Religious Life. This is a grand project to bring real vitality, religious vitality, to the whole campus.
It is a delight to be with you today. It is an honor and a privilege to be invited into this space. And so I ask you to be in prayer with me as I begin. Gracious and loving God, we ask in this time together that you be in our eyes for seeing, be in our ears for hearing, be in our mouths for speaking, and be in our hearts for understanding. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm that we sang so beautifully just a little bit ago, if you read the version in the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture, it reads this way. It reads, "Our help is from the Lord who created heaven and earth." We sang, "Maker of heaven, maker of earth." Our help is from the Lord who created heaven and earth. Indeed, as week five approaches, with the onslaught of papers and projects and piece sets, we often find ourselves relying, or perhaps resorting, to that responsorial acclamation. Indeed? Maybe? Some of you. Annika, who is a student with Latter-day Saints, on Friday spoke here. She gave her faith testimony, and what she said is, she said, you know, we say that at Stanford we live at a very secular university, but I can tell you, I can witness to you, that I have never, ever met an atheist on the day of a chem final. Oh, please, let our help be from the Lord. We laugh. We laugh because we recognize ourselves in it, just a little bit. But we know that there are moments in our life when we do, in fact, feel helpless beyond the piece sets and projects and papers, in the midst of all of the world's troubles that go beyond our own intellectual inquiry. While on campus it is true that our academics overshadow much of life, we are also carrying the burdens of worries and anxieties about families and friends, communities at home and on campus, things happening all around the world. If we allowed the litany of our prayers to continue, sometimes we fear they would never stop. The parable that we read from Luke today is often read as an exhortation or an encouragement for that type of unceasing prayer. The persistent widow, as she has come to be known, offers a model of someone who is absolutely relentless in her petition. Now, the text does not give her a name, so we don't know who she is, but we do have some clues about who she represented. First and foremost, the text tells us she is a widow. Although Jewish law had instituted regulations to protect widows and orphans, we know their lot was difficult. And how do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. over and over and over again because apparently the people of God could not get it right. In fact, they needed to remind the people of God more than 125 times in Scripture that the people of God ought to take care of widows and orphans. A second clue about who this woman is comes when Jesus compares her to the chosen who cry out day and night. Another way to interpret or translate that word chosen, it might be elect, and it is traditional language. It's used to talk about Israel, God's people, crying out in need. What is their cry for? Well, this is Luke. So their cry is for liberation, right? Luke is concerned with God's promise for the poor and the oppressed. The cry is a political yearning, and yet it is more. It is more. In the context of Luke, we know that this cry is for justice. It is for peace. It is for the establishment of God's rule, God's commonwealth on earth. It is the cry of God's kingdom come on earth. And this is precisely the widow's cry. Grant me justice. She, like many of Luke's protagonists, was among the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the outcast, a nobody in the world in which she lived. So, what gave her the right to think she could go to a judge and ask for justice? What hope could she have had? Well, the text tells us this woman had much more than hope. She had persistence. Day after day, week after week, I imagine year after year, she pleaded with this judge, grant me justice. And finally, the text tells us, not due to some prick of conscience from the judge or even his fear of God, let alone love of God, he relents and he answers her plea. Why? Because, the text tells us, this woman is annoying me. It wasn't because she was right. It wasn't because it was the just or good thing to do. It was because she was a nag. She was bothersome. If we read the parable in this way, that the nagging woman gets justice, if it is only because of her bothersome nature, over and over, day after day, week after week, year after year, well then what does that make of God in this parable? We run the risk of setting God up to be the unjust judge, the one who sits on high, capriciously deciding who will receive favor and who will not. Somehow the injunction to pray without ceasing becomes a forced march of piety, left to the whims of a distant God. And if we are truthful, when framed this way, we begin to question ourselves and our own prayers, don't we? Did we not pray hard enough? Long enough? Were our prayers not worthy enough, good enough? Did we not say the right words? Were we not worthy enough, not good enough? And if we are really honest, we question God too. Why that prayer and not this one? Our help is from the Lord. The problem is, I don't think that this is how prayer works. It's not a magic vending machine where you put the prayer in and you get the prize out. Oh, that it were. And I don't think that actually this is what the parable is trying to tell us. If we read the parable as simply an exhortation to pray until you get what you want, we have missed the point, and we've reduced God to a marionette we control with our own thoughts and prayers. Our help is indeed from the Lord, but often not in the way we imagine it. There is a story that is told by a colleague of mine, Janet Wolf. She lives in Tennessee. It's a story about one of her parishioners, Fayette. And this story has helped me to understand more and more about the source, the true source, of our resilience and deliverance. Fayette came to Janet's church one summer. She would pace back and forth outside of the open doors, listening intently to the music, the laughter, the words. Occasionally, Fayette would get caught up and she would crouch down on those front steps, engrossed, amazed, and astounded at what she heard. Little by little that summer, she began to move from the sidewalk to the steps, from the steps to the doorway, from the doorway to the very back pew. Months passed, and finally, Fayette, having sat in that very last pew for a very long time, decided she wanted to join a membership class. As part of the class, Janet began to explain about the ritual of initiation into the church, which for Christians is baptism. And Janet began, "You see, in baptism, each of us is named." But before Janet could finish her lesson that she'd given a million times before, Fayette jumped up and with excitement and enthusiasm finished the sentence. "Each of us is named a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God who is beautiful to behold." I know this answer. I know this one because I have heard you say it at every single baptism. And I cannot wait until you say it at my baptism. It was a lot of excitement for that tiny Tennessee church. It seemed from that day forward, Fayette began reciting those words over and over again wherever she could, whether it was during prayer time, in the middle of a sermon, in the midst of a hymn, you could hear Fayette shouting out, "And you are a bright, brilliant, beautiful, beloved child of God who is so beautiful to behold." Well, finally, the day came for Fayette to be baptized. As she emerged from the waters, as we Methodists sometimes float around with Baptists in the South, she sprang up out of that baptismal pool, dancing and leaping for joy, and she ran down the aisle, and then she turned back around to the congregation, and looking at them intently, she said, "And now I am," and the whole congregation shouted back to her, "You are a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God who is beautiful to behold." And Fayette beamed back. Well, not long after that, the pastor received one of those dreaded middle-of-the-night phone calls. It was the local hospital, and they called to say that Fayette was there, having been brought in after a brutal assault. As Janet approached Fayette's room, she could hear her mumbling to herself, "Bright, bright, bright, beloved, bright, bright, no, bright, brilliant, bright, beloved, bright, child, bright." Standing in the doorway, Janet could see Fayette pacing back and forth, her face swollen and bruised, muddied and bloody, her hair going this way and that. And in just that moment, Fayette turned to see Janet staring at her in the doorway. And she looked at her and she said, "I am a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God." But she couldn't quite finish it. Again, she started, "I am a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God. And turning, she caught a glimpse of herself in the mirror with the reality of her words not matching the reflection looking back at her. She turned back to Janet and she said, "I am a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God. And well, Janet, God is still working on me, but if you come back tomorrow, I'll be as beautiful to behold as ever." Fayette got it. Fayette knew in her bones who she was. Even in the midst of tragedy and trauma that was so much her life, she knew that there was nothing that could ever take back, erase, or wash away the mark that she had been given in her baptism, that she was forever permanently and powerfully marked as a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God who was always beautiful to behold. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Yes, and more. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth and created us as bright, brilliant, beloved children of God who are beautiful to behold. The parable of the widow is not really about the power of unceasing or annoying or bothersome prayer, but actually, it's about the power of persistence. The judge's relenting is not the important part of the story. In fact, the judge is really meaningless to this story. It is, in fact, the widow's persistence that ought to call our attention. The question we should be asking is not why did the judge give in to her, but what, rather, gave the woman such power to persist in the face of utter hopelessness? What gave her the courage and conviction to continue in her plea for justice when everything else in the world told her it was hopeless? I mean, who did she think she was? That's it, isn't it? Who did she think she was? Who did she know herself to be? It's funny how the world's nobodies become God's somebodies. It is hard for us to hold that truth in a world that constantly tries to convince us that we are anything but beloved. And faced with the measurements of the world about who we are, right? What do we have? What do? Right? The numbers that we somehow tally our sum total, whether it's our GPA or our bank account, whether it's the number of likes or retweets or hits on a page. Well, when we measure ourselves in those ways, why, goodness, we always fall short. We have to be reminded. We have to be reminded again and again and again and again, like the people of God 125 plus times. We have to be reminded of who we are if we are ever to have the resilience, courage, and conviction of that widow and of Fayette. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth and created us to be bright, brilliant, beloved children of God who are beautiful to behold. But to remember that, we need each other. We need each other. Look around. Go ahead. I actually really mean it. No one's looking around. I see you. That's not like there's not a mirror here. I see you. You're not looking around. Look around. How often do you tell your neighbor that they are God's bright, brilliant, beloved child who is beautiful to behold? How often? See, so Methodists, we kind of like talk back and forth to each other. How often do y'all do that? Have you done it today? Have you done it today? You can answer. It, like, the heavens will not fall. I promise you. I promise you. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, and I want you to tell them, you are a bright, brilliant, beloved child of God who is beautiful to behold. Now remember, I can see you, and I can see who is not doing it. Go ahead. If you're sitting alone, turn around, side to side, back and forth. You tell your neighbor. I'm watching you two. All right. Our help is from the Lord, maker of heaven, maker of earth, and our help is from each other. And oh, do we need it. As we enter week 5, we will be tempted to look elsewhere for deliverance. But the witness of the widow and the witness of Fayette suggest that the answer to our prayers often lie within and around us. The answer to our prayers lies in the sure knowledge, the confident acclamation of who we are as God's bright, brilliant, beloved children who are beautiful to behold. And it is that knowledge that we remind each other of each and every day. It is that knowledge that allows us to persist in spite of the unjust judges of the world, which sometimes the worst judge is ourself. And so I invite you to go forth this week holding on to that knowledge of who you were created to be, who your neighbors, your friends, and your family were created to be, and to draw on that. When you ever think life is hopeless, your prayers will not be heard or answered, I want you to draw on that knowledge and remember that God will deliver you in and through that knowledge of who you are. For you too, like Fayette, are permanently and powerfully marked as God's bright, brilliant, beloved children, and you are beautiful to behold. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, a regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.